let's say, why? Why is it eternal life? Why is it temporary life? Does John 3:16 say temporary life, or is it eternal?
What version you're reading from, I guess, is the question.
Well, I guess that's the question. Did God write it, or did man write it?
Well,
the hand of God has to guide the person, the writer. You know, and I believe the King James Version is where you find that, the authorized King James Version.
Amen.
Anything else is secondary. People usually listen to the world, the ways of the world, and think, you know, you hear something about the Bible's written by man, you can't trust it. You know, it's rewritten over so many years, blah, 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 blah. But then when you come to the truth and realize it was written the first time in English and in the King James Version, then you're like, okay, this is authentic. And then you start doing the research. And yeah, like you said, it does matter what version you're reading, because some versions, you know, say you have to obey. And so, you know, then they'll mix words. It's a mix of words.
Oh, yeah. Even the New King James, talking about eternal security, the New King James in, I think it's either 1st or 2nd Corinthians says, instead of to those who are saved, it says to the it gives power to them that are being saved. So it's like they make eternal salvation, which is an instant thing, a progressive thing. And that's where the New King James falls dramatically, doctrinally skewed dramatically.
Right.
How long is it to be saved?
Right. Well, yeah, you know, that's one of the that's definitely one of the bigger issues that I'm seeing is a lot of people are like, well, why is it such a big deal? Why are you guys so crazy about this once saved, always saved thing? But, you know, I find that until you explain the eternal security of the believer to somebody, that they don't, that most of the time they won't fully place their faith and trust in Jesus. They won't fully place their faith and trust in him for their salvation. And as a result, they're not really getting salvation. And, you know, that's the reason we talk about this, is because it is a big issue. It is a foundational, fundamental issue. It's not some Calvinist thing. It's not some Armenian thing. You know, this is a matter of, you know, eternal or not. It, you know, salvation is either eternal or not. And I think it's important to understand that.
You're neglecting Christ if you don't accept it. Because what would Christ have came and died for? Partial sin? Maybe a little bit for you? Or did he die for the whole world? You know, it's sin. Like, it's either he died for sin or he didn't. That's as simple as it is. The simplicity in Christ is really being, that's, what verse is it about how, where he says, I'll look it up, about Satan, the serpent beguiling people and taking people away from the simplicity that's in Christ. And that's what's happening.
Yeah.
Right. And isn't it amazing, isn't it amazing, Ryan, how most people are like, oh man, you guys are easy believists. You make it too simple. But it's amazing that Paul uses those exact words. Yeah.
But I fear, at least by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through the subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And that's 2 Corinthians 11:3. So what's being happening is, and what's been happening, and what will continue to happen is, people are taken away from the simplicity. That's the key. That's the brilliance of God. God came down here. He paid the price. And if people want to neglect that, they neglect salvation.
Absolutely. Amen.
That's all I see. None of us are going to make it on our own. Granted, you know, some of us could be really holy in our walk. You know, some of us could, you know, we quit everything in the Bible. But the minute you have a hateful thought or you're mad at somebody, you know, James 2:10 applies, you know, you offend at one point, you're guilty of it all.
Absolutely.
Amen.
So
I just think, you know, we should always look to what Jesus taught. And, you know, just look at what he taught, like when he tried to explain the gospel to the woman at the well. So, like, I'll just read a little bit. It says, so when Jesus was explaining to the woman at the well, it says, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? The Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. So this is when Jesus was giving the gospel to somebody. So the best way to know salvation is what Jesus say about it. And he said, he goes on to say, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of the water, shall thirst again. So we have a spiritual application, or a physical application to a bigger, more spiritual application. And he says, but whosoever shall drink of the water that I shall give, him shall never thirst. He says, and it also says that when you get saved, it's like a well springing up onto everlasting life. It says later in the verse, it says, but the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman said, give me this water. So we see Jesus explain specifically eternal security. If you get saved, the Bible compares salvation to taking a drink of water, also eating a piece of bread. And Jesus said, you know, the water that I should drink, I'll spring up unto everlasting life. So, and everlasting means everlasting. So,
amen. Well, I mean, you think about the fact that he says you'll never thirst again. If somebody says, well, you know, you can lose it tomorrow, you know, like now you're saved, now you're not, now you're saved, now you're not, kind of a thing. If you're going to say that you can partake of the bread of life and then hunger again, which goes specifically against what Christ said, then you're actually calling Jesus a liar. And yeah. So many people are out there doing that today.
Eternal
life. Sorry. Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God did, cannot lie, promised before the world began. So before the world even began, God promised and he said, I can't lie when I promise.
John 3:15 explains that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life.
Yep.
And if that's when you take away from the simplicity of that statement, you take away from the character of God.
Yep.
You blaspheme God when you take away from that simplicity that's in that line. That's what I feel like. If anyone takes away from that and twists it in their own thought and version of worldly thought, they take away from the simplicity in Christ. And I believe that is somewhat blasphemy.
Absolutely.
You know, not somewhat, it is. Because if you twist the word of God, that is blasphemy. So it's not somewhat, it is.
Right, and this is why we make a big deal out of it. And I'm with you 100%. And so many people keep hitting me up on YouTube, hey, you're making a mountain out of a molehill here. Quit talking about the eternal security of the believer. You know, we've heard it enough. But, you know, it makes me think of what Paul said in Hebrews. He says, hey, guys, he says, I got to write the same thing to you over and over again so that you understand it. And so that you can apply it to your life. And so that you won't be swayed and tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. And unfortunately, in a lot of these churches, you know, there's nothing even about salvation by faith in their statement of faith. You know, just, you know, it troubles me. And, you know, people can take offense to something like this, but, you know, we're just being honest with what we see in the Bible. And, you know, we're all independent. We're four independent men, but we all read our Bibles, you know, and we all win souls to Christ. And, you know, we all do things, you know, maybe a little bit differently. But when it comes to the foundation that's in Christ, you know, we all believe firmly that once you're saved forever. And that is part of the gospel. And it's important that people understand.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't see it any other way because I don't see any human being. I've never met any person as without sin. And that even that came to Christ, I haven't met one. You know, I could see it if I say, you know what, I met one guy that was so holy, he was able to perform all these miracles, and this is how you're supposed to live. You know, I see many people claim online, Jesus came down and told me that once saved, always saved is a lie from hell. No, that's your opinion, and that's a delusion coming from you. Because give me the scripture and verse, please, and they cannot do that.
Nope.
You know, and that, like, they love to take the verse about the branch. They love to take that verse. That's the only verse that they, you know, about how the branch will be, you know, that's the only verse that they can, and they can take, they negate clear scripture for scripture that is like parable, or, you know, that pretty much Jesus was speaking in parables. They negate a clear scripture like John 3:15 or John 3:16 or 17-18 or John 3:36 or John 28-29, which says when they ask Jesus, what's the works that we work, the work of the God? And Jesus answered unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he had sent. I mean, it's really, you know, it's almost like the God of this world, Satan, has blinded people. Religious pride is something I see that's, it's almost worse than athletic pride or any type of pride I've seen.
Oh, it's kind of dangerous.
What's that?
That's pride that'll send you straight to hell.
Oh, yeah. That's why I say, you know, it's dangerous than any pride. Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely. It's, you know, that's the sad thing about it all, too, is I see a lot of these people mean well, but they're blind. You know, I feel like they mean, but like, I feel like they truly want to, you know, get rid of all their sins. I feel like they truly do want to live a perfect life. And I'm nothing, you know, I have no problem with that. And I think everyone should do that because, I mean, it causes less crime, less heartache, and in a better world. But at the same time, for someone to think this, that you can work your way to heaven, now that's where the error comes in.
Yeah.
And just to be clear, you know, just for anybody who might be thinking, you know, well, these guys preach eternal security, that means that we should do works. Well, in Ephesians 2:8-9, you know, it teaches what we're teaching. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of yourselves, as any man should boast. But right after that, we see salvation in those two verses, but right after that says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works.
Yeah.
And God had ordained that we should walk in them. So we should repent of our sins. We should do all the, you know, we should do works after we get saved. But, you know, the Bible says, Romans 4:5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So it's faith that saves us, not our works, which are filthy rags.
And that's where some people that you would never think are going to make it to heaven are going to make it just by, you know, now, I don't know if a lot of you get into this, but some people believe in eternal rewards and whatnot. Now, they might be burnt up by what's the verse, stubble, you know, hay and stubble, but saved as by fire.
Right.
Now, people think that just because we believe in eternal security and this, that we advocate or something for sin. No,
yeah.
I can tell you right now, if you do crime, you're going to do time or bad things are going to happen to you. And that's the way it should be. You know, if someone steals from someone, you need to be punished. And if God, you know, God's going to punish you either way. People don't realize the chastening of the Lord. See,
exactly.
That's where they don't put all this together. Like, everything fits together like a puzzle in the Bible. And the more pieces you got, and the more you can see clarity.
And, you know, the Bible says in Hebrews 12:6 that God scourges every son whom he receiveth. And so, let's say, for example, somebody gets saved, and then hypothetically they lose their salvation. Obviously, it's not possible. But let's say, for example, it were possible. Would God scourge somebody who's not his son? No. There's no way.
Exactly.
And so if you can lose your salvation, then all of a sudden you'd have a license to get away with your sin.
Yeah, I'll break fellowship if they're, like, out of character. If they're, like, preaching the gospel, I would definitely leave them alone. But, I mean, if they profess that they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and that's it, I have to take some of that face value. I do believe that.
Amen.
But I don't believe you should fellowship with people in error. You know, people in error, I don't believe you should fellowship with those people. Not saying that you shouldn't fellowship with, like, a sinner, as long as the sinner is trying to, like, change their life. But if a thief is going to be a thief, no one wants to hang around a thief. So, it's common sense. You know, no one likes a thief. So, the thief has got to be pushed out the church. Not because we don't want you to get saved, because you're stealing from everyone.
Yeah.
You know? So, it's simplicity, you know. That's why I think the whole Bible is just simplicity. And it's like, you know, the Ten Commandments are just a good way to live. It's not that we should follow them because that's salvation. It's just a smart thing to do. You know, don't kill people. Don't steal. Don't try to mess with anyone's wife. And you'll have a great life. You know, when you do those things, you break God's commandments. Not that you're breaking salvation. You're causing yourself a disservice. You know, so that's what people like that think that we believe in eternal security. And people that believe in eternal security, I think they feel like they're the moral police. Like, they have to uphold the law. When God upholds the law, you know, I see it as faith. Jesus Christ, are you dependent in faith on Jesus to change a person, or are you going to change the person? That's how I really tell a legalistic person. You must not have faith in Christ to change someone, because I changed because of Christ, not because of the juvenile system, not because of the jail, not because of this, because Christ changed my hardened heart.
Hey, and just for the people online, too, I want people to understand, because a lot of people are accusing me of being the only one that believes this. And, you know, for me, it's refreshing to hear it from other believers in Christ.
John 16:13 says, so this is the main thing. When you get saved, you get the Spirit. So when you trust Christ, you believe down by faith in Christ, you know, you get the Spirit. John 16:13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, it says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. So God's word is over anything man's opinion is. And we can talk all night about what we think. And you know, just like, you know, take our own opinion or our own word for it. But if we got to show ourselves in proof. And it says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. This is the witness of God which he testified of his Son. It says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness. Which we've seen the witness is the Holy Spirit in John 16, I believe. It says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And then, so we see two aspects. We see someone who's saved. In the next part of the verse, we see someone who's not saved. It says, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar. So basically, you're calling God a liar. And in this aspect, what we're going to be talking about is eternal security. You're calling God a liar by saying the key that once you're saved, you're not always saved. And it says, he that believeth not God, so we see someone who's not saved, that made him a liar. Why? Because he believeth not the record that God gave the Son. So he doesn't believe the record. The record is the death, burial, and resurrection. And it says, and this is the record that God had given to us eternal life. So you have to believe the record, the death, burial, and resurrection, and God had given to us eternal life. And it says, he that hath the Son hath not had life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So we see someone who's saved and someone who's not saved. And I believe firmly that if you don't believe in once saved, always saved, you're not saved. And I've gotten a lot of trouble over the fact that I, you know, preach that and talk about that. And, you know, that's one of the main objections. You know, if you try and talk to someone who says, you know, I've death, burial, and resurrection, you ask them, you know, what about when you ever lose your salvation? And they'll say, yeah, and just explain to them that, you know, you need to get saved because you're not trusting fully in Christ. You're trusting in, you're either trusting in 99% Christ, 1% yourself, or you're trusting 100% Christ.
All right, yeah. So whoever's watching this is probably, by now, some people are probably pretty offended by that statement. But I'm here to tell you folks, that's the truth. And that's, you know, that's what I, you know, it's the truth. I'm not going to lie and give somebody a false assurance and say, look, you know, you don't really have to believe that salvation's eternal. Just, you know, call on Jesus, you know, and just live a good life and keep your salvation. You know, the Bible says salvation is a one-time thing. And, you know, going off what he said, you know, he said, there's a record. You got to believe the record. And, you know, it reminds me of the time when John the Baptist, the Bible says he bore record that Jesus was the Christ. And when I asked somebody, hey, what does it mean when somebody bears record about something? They'll say, well, obviously, he's very serious about it. John bear record that Jesus is the Christ. Well, what makes this record any different? Nothing. And it's something that someone must believe to be saved. And so, folks, I'm not the only one out there preaching us. There's a bunch of people out here. I mean, there's, you know, Ryan from Beyond My Vision here. Chris, I mean, he's a great soul winner. Garrett, great soul winner. All three of these guys, great soul winners. And they're all preaching the same thing. And folks, they're seeing people saved. We're seeing lives changed. And obviously, you don't have to have a super changed life to be saved. We're not, you know, we're not lordship salvationists. But it's important to understand that you know, when you look at somebody who's having fruits, who's seeing people saved weekly, that's going out and fulfilling the Great Commission, you ought to consider what they're saying. And please don't take offense. Just open your mind to the Word of God. And just listen to what it has to say, because it's pretty clear.
If you're new to the faith, you can kind of get confused with some verses and whatnot, and that's where you teach a person. But if a person's been teaching in a church for 20 years, and they're a pastor, and they claim to be a veteran in the Word of God, and they're teaching otherwise, then those type of people I'm less compassionate with, I guess you'd say, charity, and giving my time to. But people that are new to Christ, because I was once confused on the issue of once saved, always saved. I think that's where, going back to 2 Corinthians 11:3, Satan loves to, you know, disturb the simplicity of Christ. He wants to just confuse everyone. And there's plenty of verses in the Bible, you know, one being, let me bring this up, and it's because it's funny. I mean, it's not funny. It's coincidental that you brought up 1 John 5, and you just spoke out, you know, you just were reading 1 John 5:6, I believe it was. People like to take Revelations verses like Revelations 21:7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But and then the next line goes, but the fearful, the unbelievers, and all of these people will be in the second death, right? You know, pretty much all sinners and whatnot. But then people love the lordship salvation, love to say, see, you have to overcome. Well, 1 John 5:4-5 says who overcomes. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth on Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
So that's where, you know, that's where it takes verses like that and study to really relate those scriptures and say, well, how do you overcome? Well, believeth on the Son of God. You know, then you overcome. And you know, some people get confused because a lot of these lordship salvationists and people online love to take, you know, those verses. I think it's 1 Corinthians 6:9, you know, where it tells everyone's pretty much going to go to hell. But then they neglect to read 11 and 12, you know, where it says, and some are you, but you are washed, you are sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, but any pastors will read verses out of context or read one, two lines and then You know, that next line is really key to the whole context of the scripture. So I think that's where plenty of people are getting confused, you know.
John 8, verse 47 says, he that is of God heareth God's words. When it means heareth, it means you understand it, you believe it. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not because you're not of God. So in the same way that if someone walks up and says, you know, I've been saved for 10 years and I've heard of creationism, and, you know, I believe in evolution. It's like, well, you clearly don't believe the word of God. So
yeah.
I don't believe that anybody, someone who doubts their salvation is not saved. You know, I believe that person could be saved. You know, they could just be confused. You know, people go to churches that are preaching anti-one saved, going saved, you know, you can get muddied up. But what I'm saying is, like, a Christian who knows the position of once saved, always saved, has been showed all the evidence, but then they say that's satanic. I don't believe those people are saved. But
oh, yeah, no, I get what you're saying. And you know, one thing I think satanic attack happens the most is he wants you to doubt. I believe I'm almost constantly interjected and penetrated by, like, demonic attack in a sense of, not in a sense of, you know, crazy, like they're trying to come possess me, but like in thoughts of doubts of salvation. You know, like Peter doubting the faith, you know, like denying Christ, and that's how he attacks.
Absolutely.
You know.
I was born and raised a Lutheran, and I was Chris sprinkled, like Ryan said, for the Roman Catholic Church. And I didn't believe once saved, always saved, because I just wasn't saved. But then as soon as I got saved, my pastor sat down with me and asked me about eternal security, and I said, well, I don't think you can lose your salvation. So, like, I was born again, but I didn't know, and then as soon as the pastor confronted me with scripture, I think that's where the rubber really meets the road. When you're confronted with a salvation as once saved, always saved, that's how you can almost tell, that because I always like to start with salvation. If somebody right off the top says you can lose your salvation, we're talking about two different salvations. Now, if you're just skeptical, like Ryan said, and you're taught it, and then you accept it, I have no doubt you're saved because you're understanding the word of God. And a lot of people, me and Garrett left the church, actually, because there's a lot of people in the church who believe that you can lose your salvation. And I'll go out and say it, like Garrett said, if you believe you can lose your salvation, we're talking two different salvations. You're not saved. Because
right.
People always go to say James 2 and talk about the works and Abraham being justified
always.
By his works and all that stuff. But if we go to Romans 4, like Pastor Stephen Anderson did, he taught me a lot on it. Just verses 1 and 2, it says, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. So it just shows that we're justified, that our good works show as a light to others, but that's not what justifies us before God. People always try to think that that's what justifies you before God is your good works. According to Romans 4, verse 1 and 2, that's obviously not the case, because you're justified by faith, but before men. Are justified by your works, but that's because men can't see your heart. Only God can see your heart. And the scripture that really, the once saved, always saved thing, I got saved from John 3:3 when Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And it doesn't say get born again and again and again and again. It says born again once. But once you're born of the water, but once you're born of the Spirit. And people who say, well, you have to repent of your sins if you've gotten backslidden, and it says born again once. I don't know where they're getting this whole you can lose your salvation thing, because how many times does a man have to be born? Once of the water and once of the Spirit. And that's obviously talking about when a woman's water breaks, not the Pentecostal, you have to be baptized to be saved. I just want to throw that out there so there's zero confusion. You don't have to be baptized to be saved, because that's a heresy all in itself.
Yeah. That's one thing I was confused on for a while, and that's another thing, baptism, you know, and things of that nature, because Jesus went around, you know what I mean, John the Baptist went around, and the ministry went around Baptist, but then I realized when he put it together, Jesus had yet died, so it was a symbolism, you know, it was a forecoming, you know, it was to come, and that, you know, great things like Abraham was justified by faith, you know, if you put two and two together, it equals four, because, you know, why was the story of Abraham so relevant? Because he was going to offer up his son, but God said, no, no, wait, I'll offer up mine. Mm-hmm. You know, so they were late. You know, it's like God, it was the forecoming of Christ. you know, instead of Abraham offering his son, no, I got something better for you. I'm going to offer my son. And that's the sacrifice. That's the only way.
People always kind of confuse a command with a contingency. And when I say that, just hear me out, because a command is something you're supposed to do. You should do it. You should get baptized. You should join a local church. But a contingency, we only have one contingency on salvation. According to Acts 16:30-31,
right.
What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the contingency. You only have to believe. And then if you go to any other verse, it's like, what should you do? You should get baptized. You should turn from your sins. But it's the people always confuse a command and a contingency, and it's sending people to hell, because the contingency is believe. The command is so much more, but we are not to be saved by the law at any point, because all the laws are commands. The command is not the contingency, and people are confusing them in this. They've been confusing them since Jesus was around. But that's the thing, a command versus a contingency. Where are they at? And that's the big stumbling block, it seems.
Yeah, I'm in total agreement, man. You know, I it's a fleshly feeling. Like, if you can feel like you really, you know, you're really earning your salvation, it's going to feel good to you. It's going to feel, you know, it's going to appeal your flesh, you know, if I can just do these things and gain salvation. But it's really clear, again, you know, the Bible says that it's not of works, and salvation is a one-time thing. No, folks, you can't lose it. You know, once you got it, you got it. Once you're, you know, I mean, you think of John 10:28-29. Why would Jesus say, hey, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. He says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So if God gives us eternal life, he's like, look, you're in my hand, I'm in the Father's hand, and you're not going anywhere, buddy. What makes us think that we can jump out? You know, and what makes people think, I've heard people say, well, can't you just give the gift back? Well, that's kind of a dumb thing, because it's like saying, well, you know, let's look at what Jesus said. Jesus says you must be born again. Well, how can you be unborn once you're born? How can you have eternal life and then that ends? How can the Bible say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and then all of a sudden you're really not saved? I mean, it doesn't make any sense, and I think the reason it doesn't make sense is because it's simply invalid. It's incorrect.
It doesn't make sense because there's no sense to it. That you have to pervert Scripture and twist it in order to get lost to salvation. And you know, there's so many scriptures and verses. I mean, we could probably bring up hundreds that say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the work you have to do.
What sins do I have to turn from? Yeah. Give me a list. Because here's the thing. Everybody's opinion differs. You know,
yeah.
One guy who's a drunkard says, well, you've got to turn from drinking and be saved. The other guy who committed adultery says, well, if you ever commit adultery, you know you're not going to be saved. You know, you got to turn from adultery. You got to take up your cross daily. You know, everybody's definition is differently. So it contradicts everything, and it just doesn't make sense. There's no consistency behind it. So
I don't see one time that says repent of sin to be saved in the Bible. Amen. Like I don't even think it says repent of your sins. There's plenty of repentance or things, but I don't think there's one verse in the Bible that says repent of your sins.
Yeah, in fact, the only place that it's found is in the Book of Mormon. That you know the. That phrase, repent of your sins, isn't in the King James Bible. It's in the other perversions of the Bible, but it's not in the King James. And yet so many times I hear Baptist pastors saying, hey, you got to repent of your sins, meaning you've got to turn over a new leaf before trusting in Christ. You know, but according to Jonah 3:10, the Bible says that God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And so when somebody repents of their sins in the sense of turning from it and stopping certain sins to be saved, what they're doing is works, according to Jonah 3:10. And so they need to just place that salvation, just place that faith that they have in Christ, and not put confidence in, well, I turned over a new leaf. I'm really being a good person. And, you know, folks, I speak this out of concern, because I don't want anybody to be deceived on this issue. And repentance, I feel, is a big term that is highly misunderstood.
Repentance is a change of mind.
Years, we're going up against hundreds of years of false doctrine back to the Roman Catholic Church. Yeah. And I mean, the Hebrews, if somebody asks me, well, do you have to turn from your sins? I'm going to say, well, are you trusting in repentance for salvation? Because there's only one biblical form of repentance that's necessary for salvation, and that's Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward word God. So it's literally talking about doing a 180 of I'm trusting in my works into turning and saying I'm trusting in Jesus Christ. That's the only biblical repentance that's necessary. And I loved it when Matt, with your father, I got to meet him and I asked him, are you, as a joke, very facetiously saying, so sir, are you saying that we need to repent of our sins? He said, the only sin you need to repent of is trusting in your works. And that's where he got it from. It's because it's biblical. The only thing you repent of is your faith in one thing unto Jesus Christ. That's the only form of biblical repentance.
Right. And I can imagine at this point we're stepping on some toes because I've got a lot of friends. I got a ton of friends that believe that you have to turn from all your sins in the sense of turning over a new leaf to be saved. And, you know, I know they're going to see something like this and be like, oh, man, you know, this is so offensive. Oh, my, this is crazy. But the thing is, you're saying that you have to turn over a new leaf before salvation is, it's the Book of Mormon. It's another gospel. Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You know, that one time in the Bible when the Philippian jailer came to the apostles and said, look, sirs, what do I got to do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. What a better time to say, well, you got to turn over a new leaf. What a better time to say, well, join the Baptist church, join the Mormon church. There's not a better time in the Bible for that to have taken place. And so that's why we know that it's very clear, it's very precise, that you believe on Christ. In other words, just rely on him. And the Bible says, thou shalt be saved.
Amen. How many of you heard that, hear this? That, you know, people say they believe in faith only in Christ, but then they say, I've heard this so many times, you got to keep it.
Yeah.
You can't waver in it. You got to keep it to the end. You know, it's like, but then it's like, this, I know that God interjected and put in the Bible about Peter denying Jesus three times, and he was with Jesus Christ. He was with the man himself. You know, he was with God himself, you know, like on earth. So God, that's, God let me know right there. Sometimes our faith is going to waver, and we try to stay, you know, steadfast. Of course we do. And we're going to try to, I'm going to try to at 100% of the time stay steadfast in the faith. And that's what we're going to try to do. But even if we waver a little, it's not a salvation issue because it shows Peter and Peter. Peter's not burning in hell. I do not believe that. But there is some people out there that will believe that. And I also heard some people saying that.
Something interesting. Like they bring out, you have to, I think you were kind of touching on this, they have to endure unto the end to be saved.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. The faith.
Yeah, so that's one of the things that hung me up. Before I was saved, that's what I believed. And that's Calvinism. What's that? It's the, what is that?
Perseverance of the saints.
That's the P. That's the P of Tulip.
Perseverance of the saints.
Yeah. Perseverance of the saints of Tulip. And yeah, that's one thing that hung me up. And just, I watched the documentary after tribulation. That cleared it completely up. You know, it's not talking about a physical or a spiritual salvation. It's like it's a physical salvation out of the end time. Just like when Peter was when sinking in the water, and said, "Lord, save me." You know, was he asking him to save him from hell? No, he was asking him, "Look, I'm going to drown."
Right. Right. I'm with you. I mean, it's really important to distinguish physical salvation from spiritual salvation, because if we don't, we're going to read the Bible with a completely screwed up lens. It's not going to happen, and we're going to end up like a bunch of Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah, that's what I do. If I come across one or they come knocking on my door, I'm going to show them correction in a loving, kind manner and give them the right out of Scripture, not what I say, because it's never what I say. I'm going to point them to the Scripture of what it says, and they can take it or leave it.
Amen. Garrett, what was it when that happened to you when a Jehovah's Witness came to your door? What I remember you told me about that. What did you do? It was biblical.
Oh, yeah. So what I did was, you know, the Bible says, if any man come and preach another gospel unto you, let him be accursed. You know, and up the door, and knowing this, he says, receive them out of your house, not admit them God's peace. So don't even say, God bless them, be accursed. So, you know, they knocked on my door, and immediately I'm thinking, well, if they try and preach the gospel here, I'm going to have to, you know, kick them out of here. So I didn't even give them a chance to get it out of their mouth. I said, let me show you how you know you're for sure you're going to heaven. And I just went straight directly into the Romans road, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Revelation 20:14-15. And just hammered him with it. He just was kind of baffled. And I was just like railing off all these verses and stuff, telling him, you need to just trust Christ. It's not by works. You know, your church teaches it's, you know, it's a false gospel. And at the end, you know, he just, and there was this young lady who was listening the whole time. She was like nodding her head, and I'm like thinking to myself, you know, just lady might get saved right with her elder. Because this was an older guy and a younger lady. She had just joined a church. The Jehovah's Witness church again.
Oh.
Yeah, the cult.
You might have saved her.
The Jehovah's Witness. Right. And so, you know, at the end, you know, he started reading his gospel. And I said, you know, you can get out of here. And then I gave him some information. And one of the most wicked things I've seen out of these cults, and which just shows that it's a cult, I handed the girl, the young lady, she was listening, and I handed her some information. She looked at it, she took it, and then her elder looked and said, give it back to him. He said, our church doesn't believe you should take that. And basically, she didn't want to give it back to him. She was hesitant, and she kind of looked at him like, I don't know. She ended up giving it back to me. That was one of the most saddest things I've ever seen, because it just shows how they didn't have a reason. They just,
you planted a seed right there, though. I know, I could feel it. Like, I just want to say that. You did plant a seed right there because you were receptive and you seen she was receptive. He might have been closed-minded.
Well, you know what's interesting, too, and that brings up an excellent point that you guys, I mean, it's just an excellent point, and it's just a simple truth that I run into a lot. Every one of these cults, they'll all say you can lose your salvation. So when somebody comes to me and says, you can lose it, well, you know what? You might as well go join the Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons, because it's not Christ's gospel. That's a false gospel, and that's what all the cults say. Every one of them. And what's interesting to me is that all these cults, they have their hierarchies, right? And so one man up on top says, hey, once saved, always saved is a lie. So they all believe, you know, once saved, always saved is a lie. Another man over here, Mormons, you know, once saved, always saved is a lie. You know, so all of them believe it's a lie. But we're independent. We're four independent men here. And yet we read the Bible and we all come to the same conclusion that it's by faith alone and that once you're saved forever. So if you've got all these people... If you've got all these people that are saying, hey, it's faith alone in Christ, Christ alone, and they're all seeing the same thing, who are you going to go with? A couple people up top that say, well, this is what you need to believe, and then other people believe it, or people that independently come to it and come together in Christ and have the Spirit bearing witness?
Let the truth guide you. Amen, brother.
Everyone may grill us and say, we have it wrong. Well, we know we have it right. You know, and that's, they may be coming with all type of religions and philosophies of men and theologies and the ways of this world, but we cannot let them take away our faith, because that's the only thing that we have is faith in Jesus Christ. And when they, you know, they want to take us away from the simplicity, that's what the world does. That's what's fallen victim to the world, because I know plenty of people think, well, falling victim to the world is watching worldly music or, I mean, movies or things of this nature, and that's true to a degree. The ways of this world are ideals, theologies, you know, educational things. That's the way of the world, really. That's what he doesn't want you to love. Because, you know, think about it. The only religion that I can think about that has faith only is to be a true Christian, you know, to be a Christ believer, because everything else is, you're working your way there. You know, Buddhism, Hinduism, you know, all different type of spiritualities. You're trying to work out some type of spiritual, you're trying to do a meditation, you're trying to do some type of work in order to, like, reach bliss or spirituality. Even the Muslims, you know, they're trying to, you know, work their way. Jehovah's Witnesses, Catholicism, all these religions are trying to do some type of work. The only faith is in Christ. Like, that's the only way.
Yeah, overall, I mean, it's simple. It's easy for a child to understand. What you have to understand is it's just a gift. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. Just like when you were born into your parents' family, if you were their child, the Bible says, put as many as you can to that human heart to become the sons of God. So when you're born into your parents' family, you are their DNA. You're their physical child. But God, throughout the Bible, likens our carnal relationship with our parent, our father, to the Heavenly Father. So God would never, you know, kick someone out, you know, you can never not become your father's son. So that's just,
I hear a lot of people who are anti once saved, always saved, and their biggest comment is, well, you have to do the works. Well, if anything, the people who are preaching the once saved, always saved, we're the ones out doing work. We're going out soul winning, and not saying it's but to boast us. It's not saying to build us up. It's saying we want to please God. We want to fulfill His commandments in the Great Commission. We want to go out soul winning. We want to spread the gospel at every chance. If anything, we're showing you by our works, not that we have to, but we are. And then it's all these people who say, well, yeah, you can lose your salvation. And what are they doing? Like Garrett made a very great point. Nobody gives us the exact what's the definitive answer of how you can lose your salvation? Everybody's is different. And it's just simple repentance of faith and works to faith in Jesus. Please take the mirror off of us of judgment on what we preach and put it on yourself and say, what am I doing for the cause of Christ? And question your motives. Because I was religious for the first 18 years of my life till I got saved. And not to boast myself, but I was convicted by the Holy Spirit to go out soul winning. I was never convicted when I believed all these false things from the Lutheran Church. And I'll just go out and say, they're preaching the false doctrine. The Protestants are preaching it. And it wasn't until I got born again that I realized I need to go do this, not because it's what saves me, but because the Holy Spirit and God is using the Holy Spirit to chastise me or chase me to go do it. So it's just funny how the mirror is always on us. Why don't we turn it back on you? What are you doing for the cause of Christ? Why don't you explain to us what works you need to go do so you make sure that you don't lose your salvation? So I'm not trying to be arrogant. I really want an answer because they're always pointed at us. And we're young, independent men who come to this conclusion with the Bible. Put the mirror on you, please.
I mean, it's pretty simple. He that believeth not is condemned already because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So that's that scripture. Then we're going to go to Hebrews 10:10. Hebrews 10:10 is real powerful because if you just listen to it, Hebrews 10:10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. That says it all. Hebrews 10:10, how did that end? Once for all. You know, and really, I mean, I could just end it right there. Hebrews 10:10, anyone that's hearing this, just write down Hebrews 10:10 and what did Christ do? What did he sanctify us from? You know, the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He didn't say for some. Like, he didn't say for some sin. Like, he said once for all. It's always all glory to God. And it's never glory to us. We're just spokesmen for Christ. You know, that's all we are. We don't even need to be spokesmen. We're just the people pointing to Christ. Like, he did it. He paid the price. That's all we are. We're nothing special. Without him, we're nothing.
Amen.
Amen, Brother Ryan. Amen. Amen, my friends. Well, you know, in closing, I'd just like to say, folks, you know, I love you guys. I love you all that are listening to this. And, you know, I don't want anybody to take offense to this, but, you know, obviously, you know, the Bible says that the truths of the, you know, that Jesus Christ is the rock of offense. A lot of this can be very offensive. It can be very taken very harshly. But I'd like to just leave you with the scripture. You know, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:19, and this is a foundational issue. And it, you know, the Bible says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. So we're talking about the foundation. So nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. So the Bible says the Lord knoweth them that are his. And before people are damned on judgment day, Jesus is going to tell them, hey, I never knew you. So if the Lord knows us, and that's the foundation of Scripture, it's important that we understand that and that we hold to it. The Bible says hold strong, you know, to the word and to the promises of God. And so I think it's important to stand on his promises. Also, these guys that are in this, that have joined us, Garrett, Chris, and Ryan. I recommend subscribing to their channels when you get time. They got some great materials, especially Ryan. His channel name is Beyond My Vision. It's a great channel. He's got about, how many subscribers you got? Like 3,100, something like that?
Yeah, 3,100, and it's growing. And, you know, really, I didn't even know it was going to grow like this. Yeah. Like, I wasn't really looking to have it grow. I was just going to say what I was going to say. But the Lord Jesus Christ put me out there, what I know through exposing these false spiritualities. And then, you know, now that I see it's growing, I see a responsibility, which is kind of scary. And like, you know, you are held accountable. Not saying that you can lose salvation, but it's just like now I realize all eyes and ears are on me. And I just feel humbled. Like,
yeah.
It's like, why me? Like, I never thought. Like, I'm kind of embarrassed, just to be honest. Like, how does someone like me feel? I also know I don't want to lead anyone in the wrong path because I realize I am responsible for what I say to those people. So, like I said, you know, that's why you're not supposed to idle anyone because somebody can lead you astray. You're supposed to always take the word of God, you know, and let God be true, every man be a liar. There's not many people teaching the real gospel online.
That's right. Yeah, and that's why it's so handy. Like, your information and a lot of your videos are very handy for people because, you know, and I've seen a lot of people come on and they start out very confused, but by the end of your talks, you know, they've become very unconfused, and we appreciate it. And, you know, folks, if you get time, subscribe to his channel, Beyond My Vision. Garrett Weiss's channel is, I'll put all the information in the in the description below. It's been a blessing, you know, just talking to each and every one of you. Ryan, thank you so much for coming on such late notice. I know I called you like 5 minutes before we began.
Well, I'll have to do a live hangout. I never knew anything about these hangouts on my YouTube one time, and because usually I have, you know, at least, you know, 10, 15, 20 people in the live chat. And so, you know, it does bring in some people that are in questions. Sometimes they ask questions, or sometimes it brings a lot of different type of people. People need to hear it anyways.
Yeah. Well, you do a great job. You do a great job of answering it. I mean, I've listened to several of your live chats, and I've been very impressed with each of them. And when you're preaching the gospel,
put it all on Christ. You know, that's the simplicity of it. You just put it all on Christ and let Him take care of it. He did all the works. You just, as long as I keep pointing people to Christ, then I'm pointing people the right way.